Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. How is everybody doing today? I am here for another episode. Today, we are going to be talking about worshiping God, not just with our life, but specifically in worship, in song, and singing. And I wish I could sing, but I can't, so I brought some friends who could. I'm here with our worship leaders here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, Miss Reverend Teva and Akia. Man, what's going on, ladies?
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I'm
good.
Very pumped. I don't have favorite episodes, but I am very excited about you all being with us today. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
What I would like to do is have you guys, it's your first time on the podcast, so introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about what brought you to where you are today with our worship team. Again, this is life before the Rock or time at the Rock, but what does that look like? How have you been? And again, if you're part of the Rock family, people are no strangers to you. They lead us in worship week after week, service after service. So we are grateful for you and your families and your gifts. So but tell us about yourselves.
Can we go first? Okay. Well, for me, there was no life before the Rock because I was
I was born,
and my family, the year I was born, they moved out to the San Bernardino area from LA. So, and then we started going to the Rock.
So, were you born in LA or here?
Yeah, I was born in I always say Pearl Harbor.
I was gonna say Brooklyn.
Harbor City.
Harbor City. Oh, I've never heard of that.
I always say Pearl Harbor. That's not right.
What's like the cities around it? Harbor City.
No clue. I was there for a short time.
All right.
I haven't been back.
Can we get that up on the screen? Just kidding. We don't have that kind of setup.
I'm like,
that would be cool, right?
It's gonna appear right
here. It's right here.
Yeah. So Harbor City, and then anyways. I've grown up here. My grandma was bringing me ever since I was. Gosh, a little kid. I've just grown up. Now I'm age shall remain anonymous. In my 20s.
Don't ask a lady.
I'm just kidding. And I've been, I was always doing like kids choirs, like those choirs that we see at like Easter.
Yeah.
My grandma.
Were you in Rock Stars?
I was in Rock Stars. Oh, wow. Long live Rock Stars. Yeah, hey. Shout out Miss Gina. I was doing Rock Stars, and then when I hit seventh grade, I joined the youth band.
Nice.
I loved it. I remember at camps, like, feeling like, oh, man, I'm supposed to do something with this. After I graduated high school, I did our internship program, a little plug. For worship, and I started leading the youth worship team, and was doing that for 9 years, which is crazy, and just kind of transitioned out of that into the sanctuary. So
so you were leading the youth band, which share a little bit about the youth band and what that entails and the responsibilities there.
When I started, I was 18, which is crazy. So thanks for everyone who believed in
ago.
Me at 18, trusting all these trust me with all these kids, but so we had full band. I mean, every time there's a sanctuary service, there was like a youth service, and we were running worship all of those times.
So it's four youth, basically it's like a four youth by youth.
Ages 12
youth,
to
the worship band consists of youth of students that are in the band, where they learn, hone, grow their skills.
So the thing with youth is like you're always getting people are always graduating.
Unfortunately.
So you only have them for so long. And so it's just a lot of like building teams over and over again. It was really exciting. And some of those people on those teams like that have gotten to work with are like now worship majors in their schools. And so it's just, it was a really cool, I thank God for my time there. It was really
special. I was trying to think about it. You've served in every worship band at the church, but maybe for like a men's event, maybe, right? Like, have you been on the children's worship team?
No, when I was in children's ministry, I was telling them that like the youth band would come to children's ministry and do worship.
So you've worshiped in children's.
I've never been on the young adults.
Mm-hmm. You've done women's events and you've done main sanctuary and you've done.
Yeah.
So pretty much every team you've touched, huh?
Yeah. It's cool. Strange. Yeah.
Amazing.
But it's been fun.
Very
been
cool. Good. What about you, Miss Steven?
Oh, wow. Okay. Where do I start? Well, fun fact.
Yeah.
There's
like
lots. Fun fact is both Akia and I were born in the same city.
Harbor City. Did you just find this out?
This is the first time I've heard this.
I remember you telling me, and I forgot to tell you.
Where is Harbor City?
Harbor City is in the L.A. area because I was raised in Carson. However, the hospital that I was born in was in Harbor City. Wow. So shout out to Harbor City.
I don't know.
Many moons difference.
There's a lot of hospitals in Harbor City.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll have to look this up.
I don't know. I'm going to go home and ask my mom.
So that was a fun fact.
That's very crazy. Cool. I had no clue.
Right. So
that's
big fun. Things come out of Harbor City. So if you're in the Harbor City area.
Shout out Harbor City.
Hey, there it is.
There's destiny on
you. Lots of future for you.
Yeah. But I guess if I wanted to start somewhere, it would be with family. Because my dad, you know, he's always, been in music ministry his whole entire life. So I was able to just to kind of be part of it, nothing involved, just I'm the kid.
Yeah.
I'm the kid who's watching dad travel wherever in churches, and he was a minister of music for a period of time where I had to step up, not that I wanted to, but mama said, who else is going to do it? Just do it.
Right.
So I don't know if it was safe to put a young adult up there and just, hey, let me lead worship, no experience, so nothing. But I did it. And, you know, that was one obedience to my parents, as most of us do. But after that, I didn't really feel a call in my life to lead worship. However, he exposed me to it, which I was like, okay. Later on, growing up and as an adult, I noticed that my heart was really drawn to worship a whole lot more. Even when my parents were doing it, I didn't want to do it. I was like the kid who wanted to go play in the playground. Like, forget that. I don't want to do that. I just want to go out and play. But God brought me full circle around again for me to lead worship in youth, lead worship in church. And then eventually when we made our way here, had no plans to join worship, but it was actually my sister Taki who was involved in Bible college along with me too, but she had to do an internship. And what does she do? She says, Diva, you got to do this worship thing with me, right? So again, that's when I started to just, hey, choir would be great. That's it. I'm good with that. And then eventually doing a lead. Eventually seeing myself just start to grow under the leadership, and then next thing you know, I'm leading worship. And God turned it around to where I was like, what in the heck is happening here now? You're gonna allow me to be the worship leader for this place? I'm like, no way, God. I'm not qualified. I don't have all of the degrees or experience as some people that I see have. But he put me in this place. And I said, okay, God, I'll be obedient.
So share with us what's your official role here? I mean, you're on staff. What's your official role?
Official role is just basically the worship leader. I've always heard pastors tell me over and over, you are the worship leader for the house. And so I use that role to exercise everything that's been given to me. My responsibilities is to make sure that we're doing song selection, working with the band, working with our MD, working with our vocalist. But beyond that, those are the logistics of it all. But I think being here for so long and being able to see a lot what happened, what transpired with, you know, previous, I will say previous administrations.
Politics.
Not to go there, but just to get the experience that I had prior. I knew that if I were to come under that leadership position, it had to be more word life because I know it's just an overflow. Worship was going to be an overflow of what home life, what your word life, your relationship with God, that was going to be what we needed to focus on. And I believe that we're there.
Well, and I think that's what I wanted to pull out, because as worship leader, it's not just singing the majority of the songs or singing lot of what you guys do is behind the scenes. You guys are shepherding the teams, working with the teams. Again, we have a plethora of many volunteers. Some are on staff, some are on part of the team as on staff, but you guys are working with them. There's all kinds of navigating through, like in any ministry, personalities and style, different giftings. And so really working with that is something that you take on as well, along with Reverend Groden as well, your husband, who's an amazing worshiper as well.
He's cool.
Yeah, we love him.
So shout out to Reverend Groden.
But, hey.
So that's beautiful, guys. I thank you for sharing some of your background into that. Again, as much as it is your source of income, it is a a vocation for you in terms of being on staff. I think one of the key things that was an why it's an important conversation is because when we think of worship, it's not just music. It's not just song. Right.
Absolutely.
But in popular Christian culture, society, social media, we do see, I mean, in recent years, a rise of worship movements, right?
Yeah,
of churches that are growing through being known by their worship and different bands and spontaneous worship, styles of worship, songwriting and concerts and things like that. And all those are amazing.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do and what I think people would be blessed by and would benefit from, just the conversation of what goes into that, right? What do we see behind that? And how can we posture ourselves as believers of people of worship? Because I know, like, man, if it was up to me, I in my heart, I can
where
sing.
Is it going?
But in the outside, man, like, I know I can't. Man, we play around in the back before services. Like, if only I could just get up there and, like, oh, man, I would half preach, half sing the whole
time. You probably
could.
Okay, Pastor Joe.
Pastor Joe.
I just
but not everyone has that gift. But that doesn't mean I'm not a worshiper, right? For the people who like the music to be loud so that we can sing at the top of our lungs, because something is happening
in me
when I'm singing, when I'm singing a song of praise and of worship that is going on. So maybe explain some from your perspectives and some of your thought as worshipers, right? I think... Is it Cam from the team? Is like, I'm not a worship leader. I'm the lead worshiper. I've always loved that premise.
Cool.
Kind of give some of that backstory or whoever wants to throw in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of, I mean, on the vocational side, there's a lot of, you know, technicality, and we work really hard at transitions or, you know, track making or things like that. Like, our music director was on vacation. No, not vacation. Paternity leave. Sorry.
Yeah.
And he's not on vacation. And Tiva was out, and I was like, oh man, this is a big job. Somebody help me.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, like,
this is
the technical piece. But so much, like, I think what I really, really respect about where our team's at right now is, like, there's much more effort in the heart development, and in the, like, you're approaching it and approaching, like, a worship space, and your whole life is that way. Mm-hmm. And, like, Tiva and Reverend Groden, they've worked really hard at getting everyone on our team to, like, truly, like, that is where we come from.
Yeah.
And so it is not so much like the gifting that we look at or focus on.
Yeah. Right, right.
If you can't hold the tune or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's
but
important.
That's practical. But I think, like, it's so much bigger than that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like we're actually really at a place right now where it's like, we really do believe that.
Yeah.
It's so much bigger than, it's the way that you live your life. It's the way that you, like, when she's saying, like, your word life, that's like a topic that we have right now for our devotional team. Mm-hmm. Is the word, and it's like, it is true. Like, what is in you is going to flow out of you.
Yeah.
And so it really is important the way that you live your life, and that's why it's not, you know, worship can't be reserved for people that can sing. Because, look at Hollywood. There's lots of people that can sing that aren't, there's not the abundance of life coming out of them. Mm-hmm. So I think that they do a really good job at that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that what people see, again, is just the outcome of what we've been doing. And so there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. There's a lot of accountability because you do rely on the aspect of your whole entire, and again, this is volunteers, and also because vocationally we are employed here, but I think beyond that, and knowing the responsibility that we got, that there's accountability that we have towards one another, that spiritual connection that we've got to have as well. And I think that what Akia's mentioned, that there's a lot of things that go in before that we are all connected together.
Yeah.
I think a good example is a lot of times when we're on the platform and we're, you know, the Holy Spirit's moving and maybe one of us gets emotionally caught up.
Yeah. Me.
Yeah.
It's always crying.
Right.
But one of us is always crying.
one of us, but you can't do it if I'm doing it. So
take turns with your tears.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's important because what happens is that team comes alongside of you.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, they've taken over and you're trusting them already because you know that we're connected. We're accountable to one another. We know that they're in the spirit.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, when if we release that responsibility over to them, we're good.
I think of in Drumline, the one band, one sound, right?
Like amen. One band, one sound, they were onto something.
So if someone steps off, like there's or one sound, we are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, a voice is an instrument, right? Mm-hmm. And we see instruments in, in scripture talking about playing the lyre or the whatever.
Skillfully, yeah.
You know, David came in to because his skills to do that would calm King Saul.
Yeah.
I just think of the beautiful part and the way we structure our services and many churches structure their services, we put what we would call our worship, praise and worship part of the service in the front, which we've dedicated and we praise and worship through song and musicians and all these things. And really the responsibility or the request on you as the team is to set the tone and usher the presence of the Lord. I mean, we stand on scriptures like, hey, he inhabits the praises of his people, so we're lifting up a joyful sound and praising. And like you said, when these moments when the Holy Spirit is moving, it's you guys are leading, but it's not because you had it's not just the voices is what I hear you guys say. There's so much more that went into because you can't just throw up the voice up there and those things are going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
So talk to me a little bit about that. I think the word I'm kind of landing on is anointing, but explain to us maybe who, as we don't always know those terminologies, what is taking place? Like, so when we have a powerful worship set or if someone comes into church and like, what am I feeling? What is this? What's happening to me emotionally?
Yeah.
Why do I feel so, all the different emotions that you can go through, what's transpiring and how can I lean into that and not be afraid of those moments?
I think what I've noticed is that you can have the best voice and we know that we don't. We know. Let me speak for myself. No, I promise me she's the cream of the crop. No, I'm kidding.
No, there's way better. Yeah.
But I think we recognize that we are God's instrument and we're willing to do what we have to do, right? Yeah. But I think that the anointing is one that breaks the yoke of bondage. Mm-hmm. So we need to know that we're anointed to do it and walk confidently in that. Because if we don't, then it becomes about ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's selfish. So we don't want to be about that. And again, like we've had so many people. Somebody did an example. They said, well, Whitney Houston, well, she gave people goosebumps, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she wasn't anointed.
Right.
So there's a difference to that when people walk through the doors.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have the best voice and you could make people get goosebumps all over, but it's the anointing that's going to break it.
Yeah.
And so I believe that always searching for, we're always, okay, God, we need to know who's going to minister this song.
That's right. Not just sing a song.
Not just because you could sing it all over the place.
Right.
You could do runs. You could just have a perfect pitch and everything.
Yeah.
But if it's not anointed, you're just making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And so we're not. Our heart is to make sure that when whoever is leading or whoever that we're saying, okay, I think you would be beneficial to the mic team to lead a song because we have a lot of BGVs, which is a lot of background singers, not to say they're any different from that, but we know that there's some that are anointed to lead a song and to minister the song
and like anyone who's called to preach or to be hospitable or you know greeters, that's an anointing, that's a calling,
it's
the same way to be able to lead and be out there and sing a song. I think of, because again, maybe I'm asking for me, and I think there's probably some people at home that I want to worship God, right? I'm not coming to observe a worship team.
I too
want to worship. I too want to make sure that I'm posturing my heart. And again, this is maybe what I'm trying to pull out is the posturing that takes place. What's taking place? How do we go from observing a talented people on stage to making sure that I too am a participant in what's taking place? And I know you guys, because I've seen you guys just being around enough time. I know when you guys are pulling it, and that's what makes you guys great leaders. Mm. When you're pulling it out of us, when you're like, "Come on, guys!" When you're
yeah.
And so what is it that? versus like when everything's going, that's when I feel like we see these moments when the people, the whole church, yeah, the congregation is in. And so what could you, again, as worshipers, what could you point us to be better worshipers in our life?
Yeah. I was thinking when Tiva was talking, like how much, even when you do arrive at like leading a song or whatever, so much of that is, I believe, like bread and obedience. Mm. I think if you, you know, I think about David, who was ready for a big moment. Why? Because he was obedient in all the times before. And I think that that's what qualifies like worship. You know, we see that with Abraham and Isaac. And so I think if you can get yourself to consistently walk in obedience to the Lord, like that's worship before him, right? In Romans 12, I think it's a Message translation. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Message version, whatever, talks about, you know, take your everyday, your eating, your drinking, your all of that, place it before the Lord as an offering, and like that is worship.
That's good.
And so I think if you are a participant, or even, you know, BGVs or whatever, because I did that for so long.
I led
on accident. My first time leading was an accident.
Turn her mic down, please.
It was like not on purpose. I was just covering for somebody. But like,
I think I remember that.
Even, you know, whatever place you're coming from where you're like, you know, not, I'm not the main thing happening, which I think is crazy, that you become a better worshiper by walking in obedience to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Like, I think, really learning in this season, because I have a toddler and he's crazy.
Yeah.
He 2-year-olds are crazy. Yeah. No, he's super fun. But it, like, my worship life at home looks so different than pre-baby, you know, where I could spend an hour or whatever. Like,
you mean you're not like, oh, I'm off the clock, I don't worship anymore, right?
Hold on. Like, and it's like, what am I going to tell him? Like, hold on, I'm going to go, you know, be with Jesus. And not to say that there's not time and place for that. Like, I think we all kind of learn that dance, but it just looks so different. And it's really opened my eyes to the fact that, like, oh no, this has to be more than singing.
Yeah.
It can't just be singing, or I'm only worshiping at church, and that's crazy. You know? So I think if you can get yourself to posture your heart to say, okay, yes, Lord, whatever you're asking me to do, whether that's, you know, talking to the person that's next to me in line at the grocery store, or reaching out to that family member, or coming into a church service and I don't feel like lifting my hands, but you know what, God, you're asking me to lift my hands, so I'm going to do it. Like, all of those things are active obedience. The more that you do that, the more that you're living your life.
That's good.
Worship.
Whew, this is a big one, because I was thinking about being part of the platform, the worship. We get a good view about what's happening throughout the whole entire sanctuary. We're not, and just like what you said, is that, you know, I want to, the intention is to come in, but do I feel like it at the moment? Right. And we see it. We see people coming in, their facial expressions are either broken or heavy, or you see people who are joyful and they're ready. So we meet people on
multiple
levels of emotion, where they are at spiritually.
Yeah.
And so we have to navigate that. We have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you know where they are.
Yeah.
And we know that you're going to meet them there.
Yeah.
However, what is my part? How do I, what's my part in this whole thing? Yep. And I feel like, you know, God opens our eyes to see what it looks like. Because he says a lot of times, and I think I told you a long time ago, I said, open your eyes when you sing.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to look. No offense. I don't want to look at you. But sometimes we're growing it.
Yeah, sometimes we want to close our eyes because the people in the front or somewhere in the car go like this.
Yeah.
Make me worship.
Yeah.
Have you ever
joke.
Me,
right?
Exactly.
It's true.
Exactly. But we see it all. And I said, God, why are you allowing us to see this? And he says, because you don't know. So this makes it makes me rely on the Holy Spirit a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, then I'm going to do it in the flesh.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to get that person to praise right here. Or you know, you start thinking, thinking in the flesh, but this is not where you, this is not the place.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I do is I open my eyes because I want to, God wants to reveal, like, look at that person. Over there. So during worship, I'm praying. I'm praying to certain people that God is drawing me to so that I can say, okay, God, meet them where they are.
That's so good.
Lord God, tenderize their hearts so they can they can be free to worship.
Yeah.
And then I love to see the smiles of all those like you two.
Thank you.
Like, yeah, let's go.
Encouraging. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That is encouraging. Well, so, yeah.
Because it's kind of like you're with the church family. I envision it sometimes when I'm like really getting into it. I feel like, man, we're an army. Mm-hmm. And like when we get in there, some of these songs, again, it's not just, I know people have deconstructed and said, you know, all this manipulation is going on with the song.
Sure,
music.
Yeah.
But to me, what I see in the spirit taking place is a body, an army of believers that are really contesting against these things, so that I'm really making sure that I'm praising God. I'm not trying to be entertained.
Yeah.
I had a friend that I would invite to church, and they would come, and they would not come to worship, right? They would intentionally come. Like, oh, I'll come, but I won't go to worship. Now, they weren't following Jesus, and they kind of were struggling with the faith, and so they would just come, and they would come for the message or the sermon part. Mm-hmm. And I heard a preacher one time say, you know, you guys will come, and I see you sneaking in halfway through worship. And what he kind of called out, which it kind of clicked and made sense, he was like, you know, you'll come and hear a message because you're being spoken to, and it's edifying you or building you up or doing something in you.
Yeah.
But the worship part of the service is the part of the service that's for God.
Right, right.
And so you come late to the part that's for, the message is going to build you up. It's going to encourage you. It's going to make you feel warm and fuzzy maybe.
Yep.
But the worship part, it's focusing on Him.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the part that is dedicated to Him, you don't come. And it was years late, but it clicked, like, oh, that's why that friend couldn't come.
Right.
Because they weren't in a place that they could posture themselves to get their eyes off of themselves and worship Him. Yeah. And they didn't know how to kind of deal with what was taking place in the spirit in those moments.
Yeah.
Because if someone does walk into a congregation, a sanctuary, and is like, what is this that I'm feeling?
Yeah.
It's the Lord is being praised.
Mm-hmm.
The focus is not being put on us, on entertainment, on a sound. We are praising and worshiping a God.
Yeah.
And He is blessing His people.
Yeah.
Right. And so those are, and again, I know I'm not trying to talk a lot, but I'm trying to interpret from you guys as worship leaders, as your ministry, as your gifting, to those of us who are seated or kind of being led. I'm not saying watching, because we're not watching you. I like to close my eyes too, because I'm not trying to just look at you guys.
Yeah.
And so I do love that we can sense that you guys are at our church. We are being led by people who are worshiping first.
Yeah.
You are not performing.
Yeah, no.
And so what is that? What would be the difference from how do we keep from a performative mindset or approach to worship versus I sound good. Like, how do I, man, really lock in and not so worry about the performance aspect or how I sound or the conditions are right? Like, oh, I need the lights off and I need the carpet. I need to be making sure.
Because
like, how do I worship when there's a 2-year-old running around? If we know a robot, you know, like, how do you worship, right? Listen,
like jumping on things. I think consumerism is like really prominent in our culture. And in church culture in general, like, you know, I think, gosh, sometimes I was even asking the Lord, like, do I need to get off the internet? Because it's just sometimes there's so, and it's not necessarily bad things. It's like exposure to, you know, what other teams are doing or things like that. But it can create this like, oh, this is like a marker of success, or like this is like what worship in a corporate setting should look like, or, you know, things like that. And so I think, I think everyone should go to youth service on a Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and watch seventh graders and try to worship before them.
Oh, gosh.
They're going to stare at you. And then it can't be about you.
Right, that's good.
You know, I think that I'm really grateful, like, that I had that, because it taught me early on, like, oh, no, you cannot base, like,
the feedback.
Success in the room or, like, what God is doing based on someone's, like, physical or natural reaction. That's good. And so I feel like, you know, after years of that, you kind of like, all right, well, I'm just going to look right past
you.
But I think even like on the sanctuary side, I feel like we do a really good job too at like, celebrating each other.
Like, we do.
Like, oh, I don't think I would sing that well. You should sing that. Like, you would kill that, you know, like things like that. And I think what we're doing is continuously removing like praise from ourselves celebrating
that diva. You got the spirit of diva wants to come on.
We cast that diva out.
Diva, demon. And so I think, like, on a, you know, maybe if you're like a, like on a worship team or something like that, like that's a good practice to see, like, God, how can I shift focus from myself to what you're doing, or like even someone else that you want to celebrate. But I think as someone that's being led in the room, I just would be really mindful of what it is that you're taking in. And also like we just navigate so much, like God's doing something unique in that space. Yeah. And that's for that space. And like God's doing something unique here, and this is for this space. And so I think just avoiding like the comparison game and allowing allowing God to just like do what he's gonna do in the room, and not I'm not in control of like how it turns out or what I think. Like even last Sunday we were supposed to do like a third song, which I guess technically we did. But you know, we have our agendas and our plans, but it's like, if I sense God doing something, like yielding to that, because maybe it's not for you, but it's not about you. Maybe it's for somebody else in the room that he just wants to like bless through something like that. So I think it's just, we have to kill the consumerism culture in our heart.
I mean, we follow so many people. Oh, yeah. Our worship teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're constantly having to.
Yeah. Like inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration through other worship teams, which is great. I think they're doing a great, phenomenal job. However, we could, you know, in the flesh, we could totally say, like, what are we not doing?
Mm. Yeah.
Right? But I think to make sure that we're not making it a performance, there's an accountability again.
Yeah.
To say, hey, man, are we doing this with the right heart?
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, are we making sure that we're staying humble?
Yeah.
Because it's not about how many runs you could do,
right?
But how you're ministering the song.
Yeah.
I think that's a major thing for me. It's like, okay, I've got to make sure, one, that my heart is right.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we're doing, so that it's not being compared to all those worship teams that are like just killing it, right?
Yeah.
Because God has anointed us for this house.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's important for us to, one, stay humble, you know, and accountability is a big one for me. Consistency.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we try to grow here in this ministry, right?
Yeah.
Well, so for a takeaway, give us a thought of one thing that comes to mind that, you know, in our walk with God, there are different disciplines, different practices that we can implement into our life to make our life deeper, right? Get in the Word, time in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give as a tool, as a, you know, not trick, but as like, you know, a good, like, man, I'm at a loss for words, but something that you can, that I could implement today to make my worship life, my time in worship, that time deeper, richer, more fulfilled, you know, like, again, is it putting on a certain song? Is it a type of song? Is it setting aside? What does it look like? I need my life of worship. One, why is it, should I do that? And then how do I do that?
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Each of you.
I think the obvious, Lord. I mean, I didn't call you Lord, did I?
No.
The obvious thing is what you said. We're in our prayer walk in our lives. We're reading the Word. But for me, some of the things that really heighten my worship, my connection with God, is listening to instrumentals. Because there's no words behind
it. Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
A lot of times you can get distracted by the words. But when the music is anointed and playing,
that's good.
I feel like, God, this is just my heart and your heart connecting.
Yeah.
Without any preconceived words or melodies or anything like that. So I do love to listen to like violins and just a whole string kind of deal.
Yeah.
And just let God minister that way.
Yeah.
Instead of having just, you know, words always playing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I can hear God more. That's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
No, I would agree. I was going to say instrumentals. And then I just think like the Word. I
know
But I think, you know, ideally, like if we're doing worship in song form, like it's derived from the Word of God. And if you are like lacking that piece, and I think that's something that I won't say that, but I think that that's something that we really do have to emphasize in all of our worship settings is the Word of God. Like it's not, you know, I love a good metaphor in a worship song or something. I love poetry, but like if it's not the Word, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
and it's just like nice art, and that's not the goal. So I really sense like my time being enhanced in worship when I've read the word previously.
Yep. It's interesting. I grew up in church, and I realized that the songs when I was growing up, I would just sing these songs. They were like the chorus songs, and they fast. And then I got older and read my Bible. I'm like,
they are literally.
Like, we're just literally singing. Yeah. Like, they run through the city. They run on the wall.
Yeah.
Great is the army. I was like, wait, this is. And then you read it and like, wait, I was singing the word. Passage.
Yeah.
I was singing the word. And without even knowing, I was building up my faith, building up my spirit. Like, oh my gosh, that's why. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yeah. So, but anyway.
Because you're just rehearsing the word. So I feel like that's a really big, like, non-negotiable. If you know, if your worship time ever feels bland or like you're like, well, I'm disconnected. I mean, sometimes it's just like a matter of like, have I read my word?
Yeah.
You know, like, have I really like taken the time? Because that's the main thing.
I think sometimes a lot of us don't. I mean, we know the worship portion is just the reverence of the Holy Spirit and God. And I'm thinking, but I am typically a joyful person.
Yeah.
So I run to joy. I run to praise. I run to like the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, only because I know that sets up my heart too. Because then I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I'm grateful. Then, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that just heightens my worship time.
Yeah.
Even I've been asking myself this question just this week. Because I said on, I asked this question on Sunday night. I felt it like drop in my heart. And then I went to what we call like family time with our interns. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the book that we were reading was like this question. I was like, thank you, Lord. But the question was just like, what facet of God's character are you like, are you being exposed to right now? Yeah. Like what part of himself is he showing you? And, you know, you read Revelation and it's like those beasts with their like,
wow,
they have eyes, eyes everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're crying, you know, holy, holy. Now, listen, I'm not a theologian. I did go to Bible college, but I'm not a theologian. But I like, Lord, why do they have so many eyes? I do believe part of it is like the more that you see the Lord clearly and rightly, like the more that requires a response of praise, if that makes sense.
Cool. Yeah.
And so like I've just kind of, that's kind of been rolling around in my, like, God's always revealing more of himself, like in different ways, like, you know, this week.
Illumination.
This week. Yeah. Illumination. Yeah, we're talking about
illumination.
Illumination. Thing. This week, you know, the Lord's exposing himself is like my like peace, because I, you know, might need him in this moment. Like, God, I feel like anxious about this. And like he's showing himself as like the Prince of Peace. Like, I think if we can identify how God's revealing himself, it will, you will naturally react with praise. And that's it's good. Not like a, oh, I read that in scripture. Like, you know, there's a difference between like, I read that in scripture and like, no, I'm experiencing it.
Yeah.
As my, which is like literally what she was talking about, talking about in our Devo on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I think those like just seeing God more clearly provokes deeper worship.
Well, in closing, I want to, maybe Reverend Teva, could you give, we'll give you a slot, a commercial slot.
Oh, wow.
To get someone involved. If someone wants to get involved, who should get involved? How can they do that?
Sure. What camera am I looking at?
There we go.
That one. The one behind you.
All right. Well, this is a personal invitation to all those who feel like they've got a call to worship, to praise, to come out.
Yeah.
You know, we have so many different ways that you can click on a QR code. We have some information out there in the information booth. We also have QR codes on the pre-service reel. And if you need to, come see one of us, and we'll be happy to tell you what the details are. But if you're called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, come on.
Send in your tape to
Send in your audition tape to Pastor Antonio.
He'll review it.
He'll review it and then make sure that you can. But yeah, no joke here. If you're an instrument player as well, come on. You guys have a gift that God is calling you to use. And so we're asking. And if you want to, come on out. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, ladies, for being here with us. We appreciate you and all that you do. Man, what a privilege and honor it was to have a conversation today. Rock Life Podcast family, we love you guys. God bless you. Till next time. See you soon.
Bye.